Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we're on. Well, greetings, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. I would like to thank you for your time and your patience. Patience is a virtue, and definitely paying off today because we've experienced some short but technical difficulties. So I'd like to just definitely thank you for your patience in the moment. And before we get ready to go into our subject today, I just would like to just stop and acknowledge the fact that in our a series of current events tells us that there are some people out there that who are hurting. Definitely just have to pause to acknowledge the victims of Hurricane Harvey that are being that have been affected, whose some people have lost their homes, they have been devastated. And so with that, we also want to offer a word of prayer. I want you to draw in your minds and your hearts, if you will, to think about those that will be affected by the tropical storm. So far, it's the tropical storm Pitaya, as well as tropical storm Jose, which my understanding is developing into a hurricane as we speak. And so, you know, with these series of current events and these natural disasters that are happening, we find that people are less fortunate than ourselves and also in need. So I would be remiss if we set out to do all of this ministry, but yet we don't pause or it actually causes us to petition a throne of grace on someone's behalf that are going through. Also, as we go into prayer, too, within even my own church home, a lot of people have been affected by bereavement. I want to think about them and pray for them, standing in the gap for those who are going through different situations in their household, dealing with families. It seems as though the enemy is on a very intelligent attack. The Bible teaches us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but about with principalities and evil wickedness in high places. And so we find ourselves in a very big spiritual battle right now that we must pause and pray for. So if you will, please open up your hearts and minds and join with me in this corporate prayer. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, we humbly come before you, thanking you for this time that you've anointed and appointed for us to come before you. Thank you, God, that you've blessed us with so much. You've blessed us with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who stepped from out of the comforts of heaven to go up on a rugged cross. He lived and he died. And he ultimately rose for our salvation and justification. So thank you, God, for chances after chances, even though we didn't deserve it. And so because, God, you've been so awesome and so wonderful to us, you've loved us so much. The Bible said that you so loved us that you give us these opportunities. We also stand in the gap for those who are less fortunate than ourselves. We stand in the gap for those, God, who have not yet to receive you as their Lord and Savior, praying to God you touch them, you prick them in their hearts, that they change their mind and they surrender themselves to you. Those who are less fortunate than ourselves, God, we're actually asking that you bless those who have been touched by Hurricane Harvey, those that have lost homes and some lives that have been lost and property that have been destroyed. And some people have the world turned upside down because of this natural disaster. But God, we ask that you just bless them, be with them, give them strength and endurance in this time. And on the horizon, there are also other storms that we know will wreak havoc and disaster. I pray that even during this time of turmoil, confusion, and loss, that we will still have the emotional and spiritual intelligence to turn to you, to bless us, to keep us, and to guide us. God, we're looking for you to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. Lord, we're trusting you and believing you because you can do anything but fail. So continue to adorn us with your presence. Continue to move on us, keep us and guide us. Touch families today, God, that are on the verge of being devastated through divorce, through abuse, through depression, homicide, suicide. God, would you change somebody's heart today? Will you make up somebody's, help somebody to make up their mind and decide to turn away from the vile that's in their heart and turn to serving and loving and following you as the God of their salvation? Lord, continue to bless our children. They've gone back to school, and so when they're outside of our households and they're in the highways and the byways, God, we ask that you give them a special blessing of your presence. Be with them as they travel to and from school. And while they're there, God, give them the strength to focus, to attain knowledge and wisdom so that they might grow up in the way that they should go so that when they're old, they won't depart from it. God, we're going to trust you when we believe you. In Jesus' name, we gladly say amen. As we embark on this third phase of talking about the third wave movement, understand that I'm very willing to sacrifice my time in order to, pause, give pause, if you will, and just pray, because this is something that we should do. Also, let you know that I come from this very intimate-sized congregation known as the Center of Spirit and Truth, where I have been so privileged to be the pastor. We actually worship over at 11663 Arcola in Livonia, Michigan. We encourage you, if you're looking for a place to come out and experience family, to experience a place that is a family that's ready to love and actually express and teach the Bible the best way we understand it to be without any fluff, come on out and join us. Since being pastor of our church, I've learned so much along the way. And we're continually trying to help people grow and nourish and be nourished in leadership. So with that being said, as we have been going forward in this season has been very busy with doing a lot of pastoral care. So if you find yourself in need of pastoral care, I'm going to give you my number. Please feel free to reach out to us. Some pastors might not come out unless it's a member of their church. But I believe pastoral care should be given to all of the flock, all of the sheep. And although I'm in charge in one area of the vineyard, I do believe that God has placed us to be overseers, if you will, of the flock. So just because you're in a different area of the vineyard does not mean that, I won't be responsive to your spiritual needs. So feel free to reach me at 313-221-7600. My name is Jose. The area code telephone number is 313-221-7600. I would gladly pray with you, for you. I would gladly come out to the hospitals if you need it. I would gladly come to give communion if that is needed, or to just serve in the spiritual matters of the church. So now let us go back into this third part of the third wave movement. We had a lot of discussions about speaking in tongues. We had a lot of discussions about healing and blessings. And so now I want to be very intentional and purposeful with how we approach this third aspect of it. I haven't been in a rush to actually finish out this series because I wanted to take my time to definitely discuss all of the things that, or as many things that relate to the third wave movement. Many of us may not even understand whether or not our churches are involved in the third wave movement. How do you even know? Well, one of the things that we need to do basically is to be studiers of the word. Now, some people say, I read my word, amen. I know you read your word, but the Bible does not commission us to just read the word. In fact, it admonishes us to go a step further. The Bible teaches us to study, to show yourself approved. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you want to be able to help someone understand the raw word of truth, we have to be able to study that word. How can you be proficient in it if you don't understand it yourself? So one of the things that you need to do to best be able to understand whether or not you're in a church that's a part of this third wave movement is to, one, understand the word of God. And then you'll see different Christ come out in its doctrine. And I know that, you know, word faith-based churches and word of faith, well, not particularly the church, but word faith movement is sometimes different from third wave movement. But I need you to understand that sometimes they also go hand in hand. What is word faith movement? Because I got to discuss it because we're talking about third wave. So word faith movement have a lot to do with just the name it and claim it and prosperity ministries. I'm not here to attack anyone's ministry or some of the ministries that we might enjoy looking at on TV, but I am here to provide a foundation of truth. So I think in third wave movement as well as word faith-based movements, the argument has been said so much that we can call those things to be that are not, and my understanding is with the expectation that they would manifest. Well, when you look in the Bible does not substantiate that as being a characteristic of men, but essentially it's a characteristic of God. God can call those things to be that are not. And if you want to test that, for those that are in the word faith-based movement or those third wave-based, Tell them to go to a room where there's absolutely nothing and then call something to be and see if it come to fruition or not. We don't have that ability. That's something that specifically God has. And so because God, in the book of creation, or you go back into Genesis, you'll find that God from darkness said, let there be light. And there was light. God began to create. He began to call those things to be that were not. He's the only one that have that creation ability. And so when we begin to think of ourselves as something that we're not because we're trying to tickle, if you will, tickle the ears, Bible teaches us that, you know, time will come when people have their ears tickled. They won't endure sound doctrine. It won't be something that they'll be open to, but instead they'll want to hear what feels good to them. And basically, that's how the third wave movement thrives. We tell you about signs and wonders, and we tell you that the Holy Spirit is doing something new, and he's operating in a certain way. And the first thing that we do is we don't get strong enough to study the Word of God to see exactly how the Holy Spirit moves, how he has moved in the past, and see if this new movement aligns up with his Word. One of the things we happen to see from, like, people that usually call themselves prophets and apostles and have these elaborate titles. I saw one young man as a TV evangelist. He called himself a master prophet. And this master prophet, he had these anointed cloths that he would sell to people. People, wake up. Let us get back into, like, understanding how the Word of God functions in our lives. It functions as the inerrant Word of God. It's to be the ultimate truth for us as Christians. And as we accept it, it helps us to understand more about God. How does any of this line up with the Word of God? Master prophet does not even appear in the Word of God anywhere. And so when you actually look at how the Holy Spirit was moving, let us analyze. Let us go back to looking at speaking in tongues. How does this line up with the Word of God in my life right now? The day of Pentecost was not about speaking in unknown tongues. They spoke in known tongues. So how does this – the Holy Spirit actually worked a miracle out so that unbelievers would be able to see that God was in his people and he was empowering them. So then we look at signs and wonders as such as like – healing and blessing ceremonies. How many times did Jesus give healing and blessing ceremonies? He went to the people and he did heal them, but how many times did he say, well, you know, I want you to meet Dr. Jesus over here at this time and we're going to charge you X amount of dollars, or we're going to raise an elaborate love offering, or if you're in a house today and you got $1,000, $1,000, everybody with $1,000, come sit near the front. If you got $500, you sit behind them, $200. Come on, you see these churches. And they play on your emotions and they play on your faith. And the reality is we're sucked away from what does the Word of God truly say. Is the Word of God telling you today that if you got $1,000 that your faith is bigger than somebody else with $500 or only $100? Surely not. But we're caught up into these churches and how they actually do. Now, I've gone to some of the services, some of these churches. I won't throw out any names or anything like that, but some of these churches actually have been teaching us really good, powerful messages. You sit there and be like, wow, that was a good word, and it felt but then at the end of the service, you'll find yourself at a point where, you know, you find that the total motivation for everything that was done was all about money. And that's disturbing at best, people of God today. It's disturbing at best because we've gotten away from what the Word of God says. So let's deal with this. Let's look at the widow's mite. The widow's mite. So here it is. People were coming and they were giving, right? They're being obedient to give according to how God put on their heart to give. And as they were giving, Jesus noticed the widow's mite. The widow's mite. My understanding, like some theologians argue, like a mite was kind of like less than what a penny would be equivalent to today, or somewhere close to the value of a penny. It was the best that she can do. So what is this kind of rate and a third wave movement and all this stuff and money and all of that? If they're telling you that your faith is based on how much you give, slap yourself. We need to understand that that's not exactly what the Bible is teaching us. The Bible is teaching us to give from our heart, to give as God has purposed it in our heart. This woman that gave the one mite, it was so important for Jesus to highlight her mite, because that was the best that she can do. She believed in Jesus' ministry. She believed in what he was doing. She trusted and believed that he was exactly who he said he was, and that's the reason why she gave. If we are giving to try to look a certain way in church, if we're giving to try to make it seem like we have more faith, then we've been bamboozled by this third wave movement mentality. And what you will find is usually third wave movement churches have a lot to do with somebody's name in front of the word ministries. Such and such and such ministries. Such and such and such. These things are geared towards for-profit churches. I'm sorry, I got to call them out. If these churches are not functioning as an ecclesiastical organization, it's because they don't want to be set up according to how can I say this? They want to own the church and control the interests of the church, opposed to allowing the people of God to actually steer the church forward. Now, this might present a construct here because, of course, according to the Bible, we want our churches to be ran and operated by the men of God. That's how it's naturally designed. But at the same token, if it's somebody's ministry and is not actually situated as a church, I dare you to question why. What is the motive of the ministry? See, now let me break this down and let me finish this up as far as the third wave movement. If I could make you think that it's okay to speak in tongues and not teach you exactly what the Bible says, then I can convince you that the Holy Spirit is moving and operating in this church. In this church, opposed to any other church, or in this church, very, very powerfully, to get you to see that we are very viable, our leadership is good, and to get you to give us more of your money. If I can get you to see that we got signs and wonders right here in this church, then I can get you to believe that you're in a place to be, that you're going to pay and convince you that paying your money based on your faith will open up the doors for you to receive these signs and wonders, these healings that were not already available to you. See, understand that faith without works is dead, but understand where you're putting your faith. We should be putting our faith in God and not putting our faith in men. I just want to tell you that, you know, as a man, you know, I'm a pastor. You know, I know that I'm called of God. I know that I'm anointed of God, but that's not the conviction that I stand on in my life. I'm not walking around saying, I'm all of this, I'm all of that, so you should, like, donate to me. You should give money to me. No. You should trust and believe God, and when you give to the church, you're giving because you believe this ministry would go forward to help people who are lost. I'm not telling you to give a certain amount of money or a tithe or offering or 10% of money that you don't even have. I'm asking you to give as God has put purpose in your heart to give. Bible says nowhere in the New Testament will you find that it's been impression upon us to give a tithe.
Now, some people may be blessed to give a tithe. Some people might be blessed to give above a tithe. Some people might not even have it to give up a tithe. But which one out of this crowd is more blessed than the other? See, let us. I wish I could just slap that third wave thinking out of people, because really it's all about trying to, some type of way, wrestle into your pocket and pull out your money. Signs and wonders here now. The prophet is going to prophesy unto you. The apostle is going to speak into your life. What more is he going to speak into your life than what God is already doing? Beloved, I want to tell you today that as we are on the cusp of different things happening in our world right now, understand that darkness is spreading in a way that many of us might not even be perceiving today. Understand that evil, wickedness in high places is abounding. And so long as we allow ourselves to continue to buy into the third wave movement, we allow ourselves to actually be swept away by poor doctrine. When you're actually looking at the scriptures, when you're understanding the word, if something reaches out to you and it doesn't feel right, dare to question it. They say Christians don't question things. Slap yourself. Some of the bishops, some of the apostles, and some of the prophets, they hate when you question what is actually happening in ministry. Okay, yes, you prophesied unto me houses and cars and businesses and lots of money and success and fame and riches, but men of God, show me how does that line up with the word of God. Oh, I'm weary. God's going to make you the head and not the foot. God's going to allow you to stand up on your enemies. God's going to do all of this stuff. Okay? One of the things that we need to understand is how does that truly align? Because some of us are so out of order in our lives that God's not going to touch that. God is not the author of confusion, and he's not going to create the confusion of you having all this anointing and victory and power in your life, but yet some type of way you're wrestling against him and you refuse to live according to his word. I just got to be real with you. So when they're calling you over to churches that is admonishing you to speak in a tongue that you don't understand, you don't even know if they're speaking in tongues, they don't have an interpreter, they're calling you over because of signs and wonders and the Holy Spirit doing something new, but it don't add up with his word, you ought to question that. When they're calling you over because they got these anointed cloths or they got this prayer oil that they want to sell to you, you need to question it. We need to question anything that causes us to operate and move in ministry that is contrary to his word. Beloved, today, I'm going to wrap up part three by letting you know that the biggest thing that you can do to understand the movement of the third wave is to look at your word. Study to show yourself approved. Understand exactly what's happening. If you have any questions, also, I want to just impression you to give someone a call. I'll be available, 313-221-7600. We can discuss doctrine. We can go over some things that help us have a greater understanding. Listen, it's been an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure. Please continue to pray on this. And ask God for discernment, but also do what you need to do to study your word. This has been another Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. God bless you, and I love you.